Hello everyone, welcome to Adoption Adventures. Hope you're all doing well and keeping yourselves sort of as sane as one can in these crazy times. I wanted to talk to you this week about our children's stories. I mentioned last week how when I was going through the process, the sort of topic of when to tell, what to tell, that was one that really sort of made me nervous and made me sort of do a lot of my overthinking and worrying, and I'm thinking, right, you know, how do you begin to tell a story? So I spent a lot of time trying to learn how you would go about sort of telling our children their stories. So I put a lot of work into that. Then when it came to sort of getting closer to little dude moving in with us, we had what our agency referred to as the family network meeting. And this is where little dude's social worker came over to spend time with us and our sort of close support network. And the idea being was that they would just talk through some of the different ways in which our family and friends, or in that meeting it was just family, how our family would be able to help and support with our parenting, and just sort of indicating some of the differences that you might anticipate. Now we thought that this was going to be a really, really handy meeting. Now leading up to this, we'd had a conversation in particular with my parents, and my dad is a visual thinker. He's an artist by trade. And he actually spoke to us and he said, look, I don't know where your head's at, but me, I personally do not want to know little dude's story. He said, because as soon as I start hearing that story, all I will be able to see is I will visualize my grandson in that experience and living that experience, and I will struggle to see the little boy that's in front of me, and I will make not prejudgments, because that almost sounds like he would judge little dude for his background. He doesn't mean it that way, but like he would almost come up with this version of who he was going to meet. And he said that would actually change things and wouldn't put their relationship in the strongest place. And he said, you know, I really don't want to know. And Dad and I spent a lot of time talking about this, and we said that there was actually a lot of strength in what was being said there. And we agreed that actually, who does need to know this story? You know, and within our family and within our friends network, who really needs to know what that story was and what parts of the story are essential to share? Now, one thing that we recognised is we talked to our family about how little dude would be joining us and would have a food issue. And he would struggle with food, and we were going to have to change the way that we behaved with food. And what we found was that certain people within our family struggled with that. And they kind of said, look, you know, this is probably just social workers just overthinking things and just writing things down for no apparent reason. I'm sure it's not nearly as bad as what they're saying. We think that when little dude moves in, if you kind of just ignore that, it will just go away. Now, we understood why they were saying what they were saying. I mean, coming from a place of naivety, they hadn't had the experience or the training that we'd had. So we understood what they were saying, but we also understood that they were invariably incorrect with that piece of guidance. So what we did is we shared with them a very, very brief sentence. And that sentence was, as little dude was growing up, food was not readily available for him. As a result, he has not got a trusting relationship with food. Now, that was as much information as they needed to understand that we were going to be different and that they would need to be different too. We didn't need to go into the full details. We didn't need to paint a bigger picture. And over the course of all of the episodes that I've launched of Adoption Adventures, I've never felt the need to share Little Dude's backstory. There are snippets that I've shared because it's been pertinent. It's been relevant to the topic that we've been covering. But I've never felt the need to overshare. And like I say, Dad and I talked about this and we said, you know, let's put this on a need-to-know basis. Let's look at what people need to know in order to offer the best level of care to our son. You know, the food side of things, that's important. That's a big deal, and it's going to come up on a regular basis, and our behaviour is going to be different, so therefore Little Dude's behaviour is going to be different. So do you know what? People need to be aware of this so as they can help support. Okay? So that part we shared, but only in the same way that I've just shared. Then you look at other aspects of the story and you think, do you know what? This isn't even our story to share. And we agreed and talked about it as a family, and as a family we all agreed that actually this young person, they own the rights to their story. And it's their decision who knows what. So when, I mean, what we always try to sort of talk about is, if you think of yourself now, and if you walked into a room full of strangers, and every single one of them had a detailed dossier on your life that reported everything about your world, and they knew things that you didn't even know about your life, and then they started talking to you about them, how would you feel? And that's exactly how we tried to imagine Little Dude would feel. That's quite an invasion of his own personal space. And for people to have such a detailed knowledge of him without even knowing who he is seemed really unfair and unjust. So we agreed that we would only tell people, as we say, on a need-to-know basis. We would only share that information when it was relevant and when it would actually help with the care that could be offered. So we've told Little Dude this, and we've shared that with him and let him know that that was our stance, and he has tested that. He's brought that to the table and tested how true that comment is. And it's been really, really interesting to observe how he has tested people, obviously not in recent years, but in the early days, he tested people and he got to see for himself that we were being very honest, that we hadn't shared information. And I think that that made him feel more secure, because it gave him the permission to share that information as he felt fit. So when we had this sort of family network meeting, as I say, we had sort of agreed where we were at, and we announced this to the family, and we said, you know, this is what we're doing, this is how much we're going to share, and you know, there's going to be a limitation to what is shared. And all of the family sort of understood and agreed. except for my nan, She falls into the fully fledged curtain twitcher, and she's a gossip girl and loves inside information. So when we sort of announce, you know, we're not going to be sharing Little Dude's story, she fervently nodded and, oh yes, absolutely, totally agree. But you could see at the back of her eyes just how furious she was that she wasn't going to get the lowdown on what was going on. But all of the family agreed. What happened next was actually really upsetting. Little Dude's family finding social worker sort of sat down and said, right, okay, I'm going to start sharing some information about our Little Dude's background. And we kind of said, right, stop for a moment. We've actually agreed that we don't want to do that. And she said, well, I disagree. I think people should know. I think that's really important. By this stage, Dad and I felt more confident because we'd gone so far through the process. We were approved adopters now, so we felt a lot more confident, but still there was a power imbalance because this was still the woman that held the key to us getting our son. So we kind of stopped and said, no, that's not what we're doing, and we've already spoken to you about this. We're not comfortable with you sharing this little person's story. And all of the family kind of rallied together and said to her, you know, yes, we don't want you to tell us. We don't, if that's the purpose of this meeting, then it was a waste of time. You don't need to be here to tell us this. And we kind of got into this debate, and in order to win the debate, the social worker kind of said, I don't know what you're all upset about. All I was going to say was X. And she made an announcement about something that had occurred within Little Dude's past. Now, in the grand scheme of all of his story, it wasn't the biggest bombshell that she could drop, but it was a big enough bombshell to make a difference and to make us feel like she had betrayed some trust. Now, we raised this with our social worker, who was also in attendance, and we kind of steered the meeting away, and we expressed our deep concern that our own wishes had been ignored. But that was, unfortunately, as far as we felt comfortable to take it, because, again, the power imbalance just wasn't there. Now, if I was going through the process now, knowing what I know and having travelled the way that I've travelled, I would be a lot more confident in actually saying, you can stop this now and you can leave, and if you carry on, I'm going to raise a formal complaint. But at that stage, we just didn't have that confidence. So our family got a little snippet. From there, they kind of all took their own sort of stance on things. They sort of, some thought about it some more and came up with their own concepts of what life might have been. Others kind of just left it as was. When Little Dude moved in with us, what I then found really fascinating was the amount of people in our big wide world that feel the right to have our children's stories. And these can be people that you barely know, or in fact can be complete and utter random strangers. So most, it's fascinating. Over the years, I have found that I get questioned about our family dynamic the most whenever Little Dude and I attend or sort of go shopping to Tesco's. Out of all of the supermarkets, this is the one where we will get asked the most questions and interrogated the most by the staff. always from a place of kindness. It's never sort of, it's never an offensive line of questioning. But if I'm going to be asked a question about our family, it's going to be when I'm in there. We had a time where we went over to like the lottery counter and I handed over like a lottery ticket, and little dude was in the trolley, and the cashier kind of sort of looked at him, looked at me, and kind of did a couple of double takes, and then said, "Oh, so who's this young man?" I said, "Well, this young man is my son." I left it at that. She did not. She did a couple more double takes, and then was like, "Well, he seems far too old." She said, "You seem far too young to have a child that old." I said, "Well, thank you very much. That's a very lovely compliment." But she wasn't satisfied with that, and she's like, "I don't get it." So I said, "Well, okay." I said, "Well, we adopted little dude." She said, "Oh, lovely. Oh, well, that's nice." And then turned to little dude, "Do you like being adopted?" Like he had any opportunity to say, "No, it's absolutely rubbish. This is terrible. Help me now." Knowing him now, he probably would. Like I say, her line of questioning was not offensive. It was one of just pure interest. And I got that a couple of times when I was in Tesco, so people just sort of checking on the family dynamic. The other sort of space or area where I found that I was questioned with intensity was on school playgrounds. So I'm about to make a sweeping statement here. I don't mean it as a sort of a sexist comment or anything like that, but mums in particular on the playground, in my experience, have been the most sort of interested in little dude's background. And I found that I would be asked about little dude's background by any number of the other mums, and they would use all kinds of different sort of varying levels of tactics to just try and weasel some information out of me. So they would start talking about, my little one, they was able to walk by this age and they was doing this. "Oh yeah, that's lovely, that's great, yeah. Oh, I don't suppose you know what age little dude was walking." No, he wasn't living with us at that time. "Oh, is that when he lived with his mum?" "Yeah, possibly." "So what sort of life was that like?" "Well, it wasn't great." "Anything else?" Then you'd have other times when sort of people would start talking to you and they'd be having a chat, and they'd say, "Oh, so was it pretty bad where little dude came from? Was it a rough start for him?" And they'd do the sort of like the sympathetic head tilt while saying it, you know, always on your side. And you kind of get into this sort of habit and this repertoire of just going, "Well, you know, social services are not in the habit of sort of kidnapping happy, safe, secure children. There generally is a reason for doing what they're doing." And you kind of leave it there. But that was never sort of, never kind of accepted. There was one mum in particular, and she was a genius with it. You know, she would sort of drop in a question about little dude's background, little dude's story. She would just throw that out there without any sort of prior warning, and it would be such an out-of-the-blue question. And you go, where on earth did this come from? So there was one particular morning, I was sort of stood on the playground with little dude, and we're just sat, sort of like stood, just chatting away. And this mum, her daughter was in the same class as little dude, and she came over and sort of sided up next to me. "Oh, hi, how you doing? How was your weekend?" "Yeah, no, it's lovely. How about you?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." So we had a bit of a nightmare one. We had to do this or that or whatever. And out of nowhere, she kind of just turned around and she said, so, you know, I've always wondered, little dude's mum, was she on the game? And I'm literally, and she stood next to me, and the other side of me, I'm holding little dude's hand. And she feels that it's appropriate to ask if little dude's mum was on the game. So I was taken aback and thrown for a moment. I kind of said, oh, I said, you know what? In answer to that, I said, I've always had a question. I said, your daughter? She said, yeah. I said, was she an accident or did you plan her? And she looked like I'd just slapped her across the face. And she said, well, I don't think that that's an appropriate question at all. I said, no, it's not, is it? So perhaps we need to have a rethink about what appropriate questions are in front of our children. What do you think? So when the kids went in, I sort of spoke to her and I said, look, I understand that you're curious, but you've got to understand, you're trying to ask me questions that aren't appropriate and you don't actually have a right to this information. And I'd really prefer it if you stopped asking that sort of thing. And if you did really desperately need to know something, please don't ask me in front of little dude ever again. She apologised loads and said, you know, I hadn't thought about it. I just wasn't thinking. I was just naturally curious. I said, yeah, I understand that. And whenever we've done sort of friends and family training, that's a topic that comes up an awful lot. We talk about our children's stories and sort of thinking about putting yourself in their shoes. And quite often it's the way that we will find that sort of people within the extended network will let it be known that they fall into two camps. Camp number one is, I don't want to know. I really, really don't want that information. Camp number two is, I need to know. And it's generally, because I deliver the training with Nana, and it's generally Nana that gets sort of people talking to her and saying, you know, I really need to know the backstory. I feel that it's really important that I have that information. And Nana will ask the question of, why? Why is it you think you need this information? What is it about this information that you think will make you a better grandparent, aunt, uncle, friend? What's going to make you, what will improve by having that information? And I think that that is a question that we need to push on to our wider circles. Why do you feel that you need to know? Why is it important? Will your ability to care for this person improve if you have this information? And the answer is probably no. Like I say, we shared information that was pertinent to supporting little dude. After that, it was his story. Now, since then, you know, 8.5 years in, we have found that little dude has shared his story with whom he has chose. The first person that he chose to talk to, and this was before he even spoke really with Dad and I, the first person that he started sharing his story with was Nana. They would have bath time and they would cuddle, and around bedtime is when he would start to give out a revelation. Now, this is really common for our kids, that they will start to tell people in the extended family before they tell us, because what they're actually doing is they're testing the water. They need to get this off of their chest, they need to have that conversation, but they want to make sure that if they tell you this and you know, if they tell an uncle a bit of the story and the uncle sort of recoils and says, oh my God, that's shocking, that's awful, I can't talk about this, I can't look at you. If they react badly, our children then look and go, okay, well, that's a bit of information I'm not going to share with my parents because I can't handle them having that reaction. So our extended networks are the ones that might get the revelation first. And little dude started to share little bits of his story with Nana. And he shared enough with her to allow her to kind of fill in the gaps and work out the rest. And she never asked me if any of it was true. She would sometimes say, I'm going to let you know where I'm at in my head, just so as, you know, you're aware, and if ever you need to talk to me about stuff, this is as much information as I've got, and these are the things that I've sort of pieced together. But again, she never pushed. There was one particular revelation that he gave her, which we identified later on was his, and this almost sounds like I'm downplaying it, and I'm really, really not, but it was almost like his shock story. So it was something that happened in his early years, and he had a strong sort of recollection with, and he sort of, he talks about that when he's ready to share something big, because it's almost like, you know, you think that you love me, what about if I told you this? And he then tests the audience and tests how that will happen. So we found that he shared that with Nana. He then later shared that with his foster brothers. And it's the story that they sort of checked in and said, you know, we've just heard this. How accurate is that? And we were able to sort of verify where that come from. It is a shame how many people feel that they need to know this information. It's disappointing that you have to become almost like a protector, like an advocate about these things. But in the same breath, when I mentioned this to a friend of mine, they said, look, human beings, we are naturally curious. The second you start talking about something like anything, we're curious, we want to know. And it's not people being cruel. I suppose you could say it is nosy, but not always in a negative way. Some people just are naturally curious and they just want that information. So what I had to learn to do is I had to learn the ability to not be offended or upset with people's questioning, and to understand they are just asking and I don't have to answer. We spoke with little dude and we explained to him his story is his story, and he only ever has to share it with whom he feels is appropriate. And if he's asked to tell people about his story, we gave him the ammunition to say, thank you for your question. That's actually my story, and I don't feel comfortable talking about it. And he said to us, he said, well, what if my head teacher asks me? I said, well, if your head teacher asks you, you say, oh, I said, and if you don't feel comfortable answering, you say, thank you very much. I'm really sorry, but I don't feel comfortable sharing that information. I'm not going to share my story. He said, well, he could tell me he's going to put me in detention if I don't share. I said, well, first of all, I really don't think that that's going to be the case. Second of all, if it were the ludicrous position that were to happen, I said, all you do is you say, thank you very much, but that's my story and I don't feel like sharing it. If you have any concerns, please speak with my parents. Obviously that never happened. But we do know that in his years he has used that line and spoke to people and said, actually, I just don't feel like sharing that. And you have to help them through that and support them with that decision. We found that the people that we shared the story with was little dude's schools. We shared as much of the story as we needed to with them, and we shared more of the story with them than we did with our own family, because from a professional stance there would be behaviours that they would need to pick up on, and we needed to make sure that there were people on board that knew enough that they could help pick up some signs and help us with our parenting as well. So they needed to know. What was really interesting for us is as little dude grew up, my dad stayed firm on his beliefs of, you know, I really, really don't need to know this story. He then got to a point where he said, actually, do you know what? I now know him and I see him. So he then suggested that he would feel comfortable attending a friends and family training, in which I go into detail about little dude's story. I spoke with little dude and let him know that we were effectively about to breach that trust, but gave him the reasoning behind that, and he explained that he was completely okay with that and he understood. What was really interesting was the very next time that he saw his granddad, he started giving some revelations to his granddad, because prior to that he hadn't ever done it, and it was clear that he was waiting. He was waiting, and he could tell who was ready to hear it and who wasn't. So that became really, really interesting. I guess for me, the moral of this, from our perspective, is our children are the only ones that have the right to their story. And we need to do all that we can to ensure that they aren't their story. Instead, they are themselves. We talked about this on sort of trauma. It's so easy to get lost in that. So easy to believe that they are just their story. And we need to make sure that we've got the armour, and we give them the armour so as they don't become just their story. So, that's sort of where I would be, and find the confidence in yourself that you're going to be asked questions. Try not to be upset, try not to be offended, but see what you can do to try and educate people along the way and sort of help people to understand that, you know, our children, whenever I meet your child, I'm not asking them how all of X, Y, and Z was going for them. Let's really, really rethink our strategy with how we're supporting. Come up with some strategies and give yourself sort of credit, but give yourself a space to be yourself and to actually be honest with people and say, I really don't think that it's appropriate that I share that information, and then explain why. But have the confidence. That's my perspective on our young people's stories, their lives. It's their lives, their stories. Little dude now, when I talk to him about sort of sharing his story, he now sort of takes the view that he feels if his story can help one other person to become a better adopter, he's happy for us to share that information. He feels that if his story will make someone stronger or will help someone to help their young person, then his story doesn't have to be his anymore. He knows that he is something so much bigger than that. And I think that that's quite an admirable place to be. So yeah, as always, this is our views from this week. As always, you can drop me a line if you'd like to talk about this, or if you've got anything that you'd like to share with us. If you feel like you've got something in your journey that you'd like to share with the audience, then get in touch. You can find us on our social media. Facebook and Instagram is adoption.adventures. Twitter is adoptionadvent1. And then email is adoptionadventures123@gmail.com. Lovely stuff. Well, thank you very much for listening, and we will catch up again next week.